Whew, okay, then. Friday, 5 p.m. You earned it. Time for sitting back and relaxing a little bit for an hour. Thanks for joining us. Time for American Radio, 90.3 WHPC, WHPC HD. I'm Tom Ryan. Heidi Ryan Morales. Ryan, my lovely wife and co-host here as well.
Do you know my name?
I did screw it up there, didn't I? Unbelievable.
Say my name, say my name.
It's Friday. Things get a little screwy on Friday sometimes. Well, anyway, of course, on Friday we call the show How Music Changed. And we pick a topic and we go pretty deep with it. This is a very specific topic dedicated to a very specific album called The Anthology of American Folk Music. It's a collection of songs edited by Harry Smith. It originally was three double albums that were eventually agglomerated into one box set of six compact discs. And then there was, over time, a fourth that was tacked on. So it's taking us three shows exactly to cover each of the sets. So I know that that's three times four is 12 shows. So that's where we're going to end up. Today is part eight. So we're getting near the end of the actual box set itself that Harry Smith had put together. Now, I am quite aware that when I sing the praises of this collection of now ancient recordings, let's face it, these songs are very close to being 100 years old as I speak. And I refer to them as some this collection as one of the most important collections of music ever released. I'm sure that most of our listeners, even those who listen to music seriously, are probably rolling their eyes and maybe are smirking a bit. I mean, I will readily admit that 98% of Americans, maybe even more, will find this collection that we are playing in its entirety to be at best irrelevant and at worst sometimes unlistenable. I know that this is a very difficult opinion, or for me, it's hard for me to overcome that opinion. And I am doing my level best to at least crack the surface to explain, well, how music changed. That's what this is about. I mean, there are roots here that are undeniable. And I know that most people are only interested in music from our own times, but I'd like to make one point, if I may. How many once contemporary albums in your lifetime have grown hopelessly outdated and now seem almost embarrassing? Something that you would have played endlessly maybe 30 or 40 years ago, and now you're like, oh my God, I can't believe I liked that. We all know that relying on pop culture for providing fodder to feed the masses is a fool's game. And we all have old albums and CDs that are now transparently awful. The songs on the anthology that we're playing in this set may sound weird and ancient, but there is a spark in them that ignited the vast breadth of American music culture, including the blues, country, folk, rock and roll, Cajun, Zydeco, and all of the offshoots that subsequently followed them. So, to summarize, no, this isn't a series for everyone, but it is manna for the 2 or 3% who treasure the history of American music culture. And since we call the show How Music Changed, I would have been totally off the mark if I didn't include this in our series. So, that being said, here's part eight. Now, volume three, we're in the middle part of volume three, is simply entitled Songs. So in a lot of ways, this is one of the more easy of the three sets to listen to, because they are meant to be songs that you would listen to mostly for pleasure. Granted, even if they are 99 years old. And this next song by the Memphis Jug Band is exactly that, recorded on October 19th, 1927. And I know that all of these shows, by the way, are going to our website to be stored away, you know, indeterminately. So by this time next year, I'll be saying almost 100 years old, and it will have been 100 years old, and then more than that, more than a century old as time unfolds. But the Memphis Jug Band is the earliest jug band in Memphis, and it was essentially like Will Shade on guitar, with Ben Ramey on kazoo, Will Weldon on guitar, a guy named Val Stevens on banjo violin, and Jenny Clayton on vocal. Now, Will Shade was a veteran of medicine shows, and he liked playing, liked the playing of Clifford Hayes's Louisville Jug Band well enough to start his own group. Now, around 1909, alcohol sales were illegal in Tennessee, with the exception of Memphis, only in that one town. So Beale Street was wide open, and musicians gravitated to it. But by the 1920s, there were a lot of jug bands working there. Handy's Park in that town was round-the-clock party, and the group would play there for tips. Now, although the jug band had so many members over the year, I told you who the core members were, and the 1927 outfit represented here in this song included even more people than that. Ben Ramey was one of the group's original members, along with Tee Wee Blackman and Lion House, a middle-aged man who played an empty whiskey bottle. And Val Stevens was a multi-instrumentalist from nearby Fayette County who occasionally played with the group. In 1956, music scholar Sam Charters interviewed Shade and Burse and recorded a group consisting of the two, along with Gus Cannon, who was Gus Cannon and his, I think it was the Jug Stompers, is how we started off last week's show. Now, Shade had been working at a tire plant at the time, and Burse was a house painter. Cannon was a handyman. The resulting album was released on Folkways 2610 in 1956. Again, this is because of Harry Smith's American folk music. It created interest in these songs that are now 100 years old, started the folk artists to go back in history and to develop their own songs, and thus the whole folk boom began. And from the folk boom came the rebirth of the blues thing and, of course, rock and roll itself. So then, here then to start the show is the Memphis Jug Band. The song is called Bob Lee Jr. Blues. Thank you. Harry Smith always writes these little tiny compendiums describing the song in his own notes, if you bought the box set. And what he says about that track is, it's another example of the vocal type frequently associated with Memphis. The accompaniment is similar to the urban dance style. And toward the end of the record, a rumba arrangement, which we just heard, of the well-known Careless Love is introduced. Like, very cool how they, you know, basically mix that together. All right, the next track up is, of course, by none other than the Carter Family, probably the most famous of all the artists that appear on the Anthology of American Folk Music. We did play a track by them earlier in our set. I think it might have been in show number two. In this case, we're going all the way back to the very, very first recording session that the Carter Family had ever performed at. This is a story that is told a million times. It's all about Ralph Peer, who was basically trying to, went to the South, and I forget exactly where was he, Tennessee, I believe, somewhere in Tennessee, at Bristol. He went to Bristol, Tennessee, and he was put ads in the paper saying that he was looking for artists to put to give recording contracts to, and the best, you know, artists would win. And people were coming from all over the country. All the people that were basically performing on the Harry Smith Anthology of American Folk Music, if they could get there, were trying to get there, because that's exactly what Ralph Peer was looking for. He didn't want the citified types of music that was easy to get in the studios in New York City and in New Jersey and in Chicago and such. He was trying to find what was happening in the regions where people were more or less isolated. So he sets himself up in Bristol, and they called it the Big Bang of Country Music because it was during those sessions that both the Carter Family and Jimmy Rogers showed up to audition. And between the two of them, that equals exactly that, the birth of country music. And it's this song that we're going to play now that is the very song that convinced Ralph Peer that he was going to offer the Carters a contract. What's interesting about it is that it's a song that they almost were not going to play. And the reason for that is kind of simple. Sarah Carter, who sang the vocal, hated the song. Sarah was married, and she wasn't happily married. And the song was called Single Girl, Married Girl. And to her, it struck a little bit too close to the bone, I guess. She's singing the words, and she's probably thinking to herself, you know, this song is not making me feel good. I don't want to sing a song that's basically making me feel bad. But they did it anyway. And Ralph Peer loved it. And the main reason he loved it was because he fell in love with what Maybelle was doing on the guitar. And Sarah's vocal performance is so unbelievably believable. She might have been like, you know, on the edge emotionally, but that's what made it sound so fantastic. So see if you can hear that. Hear the reticence in her voice as she's singing it. This is the Carter Family, Single Girl, Married Girl.
Married girl.
Time I heard that song, I thought it was really witty, like kind of maybe even funny. And now that I know like the story about, you know, Sarah and in her own life, it hurts in a way to hear it. There's pain there. It's not funny at all. It takes on a totally different sort of a feeling. And the next song we're going to play is yet again an artist that we covered a few shows back. Cleoma Bro and Joseph Falcon. I think we accredited it when we played it then just solely to Joseph Falcon. It was a song called Acadian One Step, and it was an instrumental. So Cleoma Bro wasn't mentioned, probably because she got credit when she would sing. Then she would get vocal credit on the label. But if she wasn't singing, they might not give her give her credit, although she did play guitar. But in this instance, she is singing, and it's Joe Falcon playing the accordion while she sings and plays guitar. The song is, of course, another Cajun song. It's called La Vieux Solard et Sa Femme. Translated, I believe, let me see, where is they spelled out the meaning for me here. And I've lost it. Oh, the old drunkard and his wife. My French is terrible. But here is Cleoma Bro and Joseph Falcon.
Thank you.
Harry Smith's words here. Pioneer, Louisiana French recording artists, and possibly the most famous of all Acadian musicians, Mr. and Mrs. Joseph Falcon had made more than 150 sides for Columbia, Victor, and Decca before Miss Falcon, Clem Obreau, died a few years ago. When he says a few years ago, he wrote this around 1952 when the record came out. So that probably means that she died in the late 40s or around 1950. We now move into a pretty heavy blues section of what Harry Smith was putting together. At a time when people were yet to discover the blues from the late 1920s, which is, again, one of the miracles of what came from the Anthology of American Folk Music. It is collections like this that caused people to want to drive to the South and start literally following the Mississippi Delta and finding where a lot of these people came from and see if they could find them somewhere because they had been forgotten for 25 years or so or thereabouts. And they wanted to help rediscover them. And very often they did. And they were able to bring them back north and give them new careers. Didn't work out quite that way for Blind Lemon Jefferson. In Harry Smith's words, the first authentic recordings of Texas folk songs were made by Blind Lemon Jefferson in the rug department of a Dallas department store in 1924. His injection of short, independent melodic guitar phrases at the end of each vocal line, which is typical of Texas playing, is seldom so beautifully developed as in Jefferson's work. Blind Lemon Jefferson made best-selling blues recordings in the 20s for Paramount Records and was a major influence on many other blues singers in the Southwest. He's from a native of Wortham, Texas. He was born blind and took up music for a livelihood. I think that's about the sixth time I've said that in this series about blind artists picking up a guitar. He played the streets of Dallas, traveled extensively, sometimes in the company of singers like Huddie Ledbetter, better known as Leadbelly, or Josh White, who acted as his eyes. He was also sometimes able to earn money as a professional wrestler. Unfortunately, though, he never did make much money from his recordings. He moved to Chicago, but he was destitute and was found frozen to death in 1959. A horrible way to die. Leadbelly wrote a musical tribute to him, and there were recorded tributes to him at the time of his death, including a sermon by Reverend Emmett Dickerson called The Death of Blind Lemon Jefferson. Here he is, performing Rabbit Foot Blues.
The rabbit running 1 solid mile. Blue jumped the rabbit running 1 solid mile. This rabbit sat down crying like a matador town. Well, it seemed like you're hungry, honey, come and lunch with me. Seem like you're hungry, honey, come and lunch with me. I wanna stop these mad-looking women from worrying me. I am you need biscuit gel and a half a pint of gin. Some you need biscuit gel and a half a pint of gin. Your gin is mighty fine, some biscuits a little too thin. Baby, tell me something about the meatless and wheatless days. I want to know about those meatless and wheatless days. It's not being my home, I don't think I could stay. I tried for a how I need I declared was gone. When I drive on flower, need I declared was gone. People feed me cornbread, I just can't stick around no. Got an airplane, baby, now we're gonna get a submarine. Now we're gonna get a submarine. Gonna get that Kaiser, we'll be still a machine. Hit me to your buggy, mama, drive me like a mule. Hit me to your buggy, drive me like a mule. When I'm going home with my ugly, it's much hard to be fooled.
Well, if you want a bragging rights, I can tell you now that if you're listening to the show, you can now tell everybody that you were listening to the radio today and you heard a song that was 100 years old, because that was recorded in 1926. Blind Lemon Jefferson's Rabbit Foot Blues. Just a few years later than that, in 1930, is when our next artist recorded, Sleepy John Estes and Yank Rachel, as a pair. John Estes from Brownsville, Tennessee, was blind in one eye from a boyhood baseball injury. And because of that, he got the nickname Sleepy because he looked that way with the damage to his eye. Oh, before I keep talking, I guess this would be a good time for me to mention that you're listening to WHPC, WHPC HD, Garden City, New York. Should get that in just on the half hour time. So that's what that's about. And the show, of course, is American Hit Radio, and on Fridays, How Music Changed, and all that stuff. All right, so Estes had a musical career in Memphis, and he was working pretty much the same streets as the Jug Bands, who we had just were talking about a few songs back with the Memphis Jug Band when we started the show. One of Estes' frequent partners was a harmonica player named Hammy Nixon, but the musician he played with the most was Yank Rachel. Rachel and Estes met in 1919, played together for many years. And even though this song is credited on the record to Sleepy John Estes, it's Rachel who is the vocalist on this song. Now, at the time of his death, Rachel, believe this or not, was still performing with rock musician John Sebastian of the Love and Spoonful. And he very well might have been the last surviving artist of all the people who had ever performed on the Anthology of American Folk Music. He made it into the 70s. Estes was one of the few bluesmen who actually continued to record into the 30s. Starting in 1937, he toured with the African-American group the Rabbitfoot Minstrels. And in the 40s, he worked as a farmer. And until like many of the other people who are on this collection, he was eventually brought to the attention of the folk revival audience. Thank you very much, Harry Smith. He performed at the Newport Folk Festival and even at the 1970 and 1973 Smithsonian Festivals of American Folklife. So both of these guys had longevity, Sleepy John Estes and Yank Rachel. Here they are performing Express Man Blues.
I said, "Express
Put this mandolin under my arm. I'll bet you that song, almost without doubt, had a huge influence on Ry Cooder. I'm almost certain of it because of the mandolin. And Harry Smith pretty much can explain why. About 1930, these are his words, the banjo seems to have declined in favor among folk musicians, for it is seldom recorded after that date. Balancing the sharp-toned banjo against a softer, more extended guitar note, which had been very popular formerly, was often replaced by a mandolin and guitar combination. The remarkable vocal given here, with accompaniment of piano as the soft tone, and mandolin, is one of the first recordings in which the latter instrument, the mandolin, is featured. So there. All right, then, back to Chicago in the year of 1928. The artist is Willard Ramblin' Thomas from Shreveport, Louisiana, a street performer like other Texas Louisiana blues musicians. He recorded 18 songs between 1929 and 1932, but he mostly made his living playing on the streets of Dallas. The surprising success, though, of Blind Lemon Jefferson is the reason why Ramblin' Thomas had a recording contract, because his popularity sent record companies searching for other Dallas singers. And one of them that they discovered happened to be Ramblin' Thomas. So, what does Harry Smith have to say about it? There goes this. Okay, this is basically, he says, facets of a folk lyric complex. He more or less makes the point that at this point, the blues are grabbing phrases, especially if you're dealing with prison, about like rhyming couplets that a lot of people were using similar phraseology. He considered this to be one of the best versions of that phraseology. It's Ramblin' Thomas. The song is called Poor Boy Blues.
A long ways from home. I'm a dirty loser now, dirty as I please. I'm in Texas, I got to work or leave. Oh boy, long ways from home. If you're home and losing now, what you done over here? Say my home ain't in Texas, and I sure don't care. Oh boy, long way from home. I don't care if the boat don't never land, as I can see on water. As long as any man. Oh boy, long ways from home. Just like a drunken man,
And my home's on the water, and I sure don't like land. Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, long way from home.
Poor Boy Blues, name of that track. Ramblin' Thomas, or Willard Thomas, right? Credits, same person. Now, once again, we have a repeat artist, somebody that started off the part three of our set. So it would have been the first track that we played last week when we covered Cannon's Jug Stompers with Noah Lewis. We played Minglewood Blues. Here's the Cannon's Jug Stompers again, featuring Gus Cannon. What's different is that when we played Minglewood Blues, the track that we played was credited with Noah Lewis, which is because Noah Lewis joined and played harmonica, but the lead vocal was by Ashley Thompson on Minglewood Blues. In this instance, on this track by Cannon's Jug Stompers, the lead vocal is Gus Cannon, who's also playing banjo and jug, somehow simultaneously. I was marveling at that on the last track. That's what he does. Noah Lewis is back on harmonica. Elijah Avery is on guitar. The words provided by Harry Smith regarding this song is, the melody used in this recording is usually called Lost John, which I think is like a jail song, one of those things that they do when they're breaking rocks, and traditionally featured the harmonica. Here, played by Noah Lewis, the chorus, Over the Road I'm Bound, is seldom heard other than in songs dealing with prison. Yeah, exactly. That's how I remember that Lost John theme. So here then is Cannon's Jug Stompers with Feather Bed.
I remember the time just for the war, cause a man used to put about shifting the store. But now, bless God, old Marsh did, cause a man plumb cool about to fill the bed. Hee-wee, my dear, and say, old road I'm bound to go. I heard my baby cry, wee wee, honey, oh Lord, I'm bound to go, wee wee, baby, Lord, I'm bound to go. Downtown didn't mean no harm. Police driving right by my arm. Till I began to fit, I began to rap. Felt like strolling in the air. Ooh, ooh, baby, oh Lord, I'm bound to go. Went downtown doing my best, find the boys I stole the best. Went on round about the coat square, find the boys I done stole the coat. Hee baby, oh Lord, I'm bound to go. I knew Joe Rude was in the stand, had them law books in his hand. I began to pitch the cloud of it, began to read to me, said nigga been stealing the poetry. Eee, baby, oh, the road I'm about to go. Deep old prison and molded brown, I'm going across the Chippewa Creek, going to town. Baby, over the road I'm bound to go.
Cannon's Jug Stompers, Featherbed. I hope that everybody's digging this. it's just so, I feel like I'm like swimming in very, very, very deep water when I go through this. There's so much time between these songs and today. And yet I feel as though there's like this, there's a very strong rope that's connecting like them to where we are now. And I just hope that you're feeling that too, because I just hope that the series is working for you as well as much as it does for me, or at least to some extent. And Harry Smith had a thing about certain particular artists. That's why you'll notice, especially today, we are going back to a couple of artists that he had already picked songs, and they have a second take, so to speak, in the series. And that happens again on our next track. I think it was perhaps early in our show, probably last week, where we covered Doc Boggs. I mentioned that Doc Boggs was a coal miner his entire life, and he was a banjo player, but he loved African-American blues music. And he used that as it was a major influence on his own playing. And he was hoping that he would be able to have a career as a musician and make a living at it to get him the hell out of the mines. And never really worked until he retired in 1952, the same year that this record was put out. Incidentally and coincidentally, because of this record, he was rediscovered. And eventually, he was one of those people that was able to appear at the Newport Folk Festival and the Festival for American Folk Life and such, and was being interviewed by the folkies, who eventually got the whole thing started to run. Doc Boggs was one of those people who got to enjoy that, at least. Well, the track that we played in the past by Doc Boggs was a song called Sugar Baby. This time, we are up to a track by Doc Boggs. This is simply called Country Blues. Let me see what it is that Harry Smith says here. Because the verses in this song beginning, "Last time I saw my little woman," and "Go dig a hole in the meadow," are almost always connected with "Darling Cora," of which this may be a personalized version. He's referring to another old song. The sections beginning, "Give me cornbread when I'm hungry," and "When I'm dead and buried," are among the most frequently used verses. All right, then. Here's Doc Boggs with Country Blues.
Come on, you good time people, while I've got money to spend. Tomorrow might be money, and I never have a dollar nor a friend. When I had plenty of money, good people, my friends were all standing around. Just as soon as my pocketbook was empty, not a friend on earth to be found. Last time I seen my little woman, good people, she had a wine glass in her hand. She was drinking down her troubles with a low-down sorry man. Oh, my daddy taught me a penny, good people. My mama, she told me more. That if I didn't quit my rowdy, we'd have trouble at my door. I wrote my woman a letter, good people. I told her I was in jail. She wrote me back an answer, saying, honey, I'ma come to go your bail. All that round old jailhouses ain't any good people. $40 won't pay my fine. Corn whiskey has surrounded my body, poor boy. Pretty women is a trouble in my mind. Give me cornbread when I'm hungry, good people. Corn whiskey when I'm dry. Pretty women are standing around me. Sweet heaven when I die. If I'd listened to my mama, good people, I wouldn't have been here today. But a drinking and a shooting and a gambling, at home I cannot stay. Go dig a hole in the middle, good people, go dig a hole in the ground. Come around all you good people and see this poor rounder go down. When I am dead and buried, my pale face turned to the sun. You can come around and mourn, little woman, and think the way you have done.
Wow. Doc Boggs, Country Blues. Which brings us to a new artist that we haven't covered yet. Julius Daniels is his name. Born in Denmark, South Carolina. Lived in Pineville, South Carolina from 1912 until 1930. One of the first of the Southeastern bluesmen to record a record. Although he lived later, lived mostly in Charlotte, California, North Carolina. Now, this song is called 99-Year Blues by Julius Daniels. Now, the phrases and the construction are similar to a lot of songs, but most of them are more recent recordings. This predates them. For example, songs that deal with the same images and words, for example, are Angola Blues by Champion Jack Dupree or Lonesome Day Blues by Jesse James. The song Last Fair Deal Gone Down by Robert Johnson, he picked up some of that right here from Julius Daniels. Parchment Farm Blues by Bucca White. There's even elements of the Cannon Jug Stompers' Viola Lee Blues that was taken from this. So here's Julius Daniels with 99-Year Blues.
Round the ball, we'll kill everybody for pay. Poor law, poor law, poor law, poor law. On a Monday I rested, on a Tuesday I tried. Judge found me guilty and I hung my head and cried. Lord and cried, Lord and cried, Lord and cried, Lord and cried. Lord and cry. Judge, what'll be my fight? Is a pick and a shovel without your brown coal mine. Coal mine, coal mine, coal mine, coal mine, coal mine. Lot on me, Judge, ain't been here give you 99 years, don't come back here no more, no more, no more, no more, no more, my Lord. Lot on the judge, I ain't been here before. Give you 99 years, don't come back here no more, no more, no more, my Lord.
That leaves us with time for just one more track, and it's by an artist that we already played today. So it's easy. I don't have too much to say about him. Blind Lemon Jefferson. And it won't be the last time we hear Blind Lemon Jefferson. We're going to have a track, one more track by him next week, a very famous one, so we can get to that. But this time, once again, we hear him with a device that he uses where he reverses the line order of the first verse to produce the final verse of the last song. It's like one of the, this is kind of a unique thing to do then, and it's some, they still do it all the time, but it was a good trick of Blind Lemon's back in the day. This song is called Prison Cell Blues. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next week. Take care, folks.
Would have been happy had not been for them. They wake at night and just can't eat a bite. Used to be my rider, but she just won't be me right. Got a red-eyed captain and a squabbling ball. Not a mad dog sergeant, how did he want to knock on? I'm getting tired of sleeping in it, but I lost some sleep. Lord, I wouldn't have been here if it had not been for them. Ask the government to knock some days off my time. What a way I'm treated, I'm about to lose my mind. I wrote to the governor, please turn me loose. This isn't getting no ass, I know it ain't no use. Tired of sleeping in it, but I lost myself. Thought I would have been here if it had not been for them. I hate to turn over and find my rider gone. Walked across my floor, bloody high I'm on. Would have been, yeah, if it had not been for now. I'm getting tired of sleeping, Lord, I lost some sense.